Welcome to Boganwood, Australia, Canberra's forgotten suburb. In today's adventure, we check back in on Sheila as she makes her way to the Centrelink office. And we also have a look at Dingo and Bricko and the scheme behind how they got their first paying job in a matter of many, many months. Even in Boganwood, nothing is free. Sheila was pissed, and not in the way she wanted. You know, the drunken way. A thousand different thoughts came to mind as she strolled down the street passing her so-called neighbours. Who the fuck did they think they were? Opening their dole checks and already working their way down to the local pub to gamble it all away. Sheila had big plans for that money, and it didn't involve the poker machines. That's a dickhead's game. She had made a grocery list the week before, and damned if she wasn't going to get what she deserved. Her mind kept racing with the possibilities of her potential earnings being taken over with the thoughts of how this could happen to her. Sheila was now known to be one of the best dole bludgers in town, and her schemes had worked wonders. She had been on the dole since she had left school, and her mother wasn't able to claim child support anymore. She needed this income, and someone was going to have to pay for the mistake. As Sheila continued walking down the street to get away to the local Centrelink office, Dingo and Bricko were working hard to earn a quick buck in the job that almost didn't happen only days before. They both talked about how lucky they were and how the opportunity of a lifetime had presented itself after one of Dingo's mates had broken his leg during an incident at the local shopping centre. Dingo and Bricko's mate Jimbo had come up with a good get-rich scheme. Dingo and Bricko's mate Jimbo had come up with a get-rich scheme he'd seen on an American TV program, in which he would get injured while shopping and sue the shopping centre for leaving a spill on the ground. Whilst he worked through his plan, he'd run into Dingo and Bricko as they were looking for crates behind the shopping centre for the fire they built at home. "Hey mate, you got a ciggy?" Jimbo yelled across the parking lot. This was a normal greeting in Boganwood and could also be a profitable venture if you were good at it. "Nah, Jimbo, just make me last one," Dingo called out cautiously, placing his hand over his half-full pack of cigarettes in his pocket. "How the fuck are you? What are you two cunts up to?" Jimbo asked as he made his way toward them. Now, Bricko knew to keep his mouth shut. He was the thinking man, remember, and always liked to hear what other people had to say. So he nudged Dingo to also keep his mouth shut. "Yeah, well, I've come up with the plan of the century, and I'm thinking of retiring from the window washing job," Jimbo continued. Dingo couldn't risk missing out on the opportunity like this, so he had to ask more. "Oh, yeah? What's this scheme? And how do we get that window washing gig?" Dingo asked. Bricko was actually interested in where this conversation was going, as he'd actually been trying to get a window washing gig for a couple of years now and wasn't able to afford the money to buy someone out. The gig involved only a matter of items, but it was all about the real estate. To become a window washer, all you needed was a window squeegee, a bucket of water, and of course dishwashing liquid. You stood on the main drag and you waited for cars to approach and wash their windows. Now, it might sound simple, but there was an art to the level of manipulation that was required to force a driver to pay you a couple of bucks, even and especially when he didn't want his windows washed. Bricko started thinking through the plan as Dingo continued his conversation with Jimbo, but being cautious that Dingo didn't fuck this up. Jimbo talked in great length about the location he was manning on Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays, talking about the hundreds of dollars he had made by doing the window washing gig. "Now this is a simple, temporary exchange, so to speak," Jimbo stated and started to smile. "Gears the ciggy and we'll continue our talk." Dingo didn't hesitate this time and reached into his pocket, pulling out two cigarettes and handing them to Jimbo. Jimbo reached down into his pocket and placed the cigarettes into his now full packet and smiled at Dingo because he knew he had them hook, line and sinker. "Now what I need yous to do is to go inside and create a spill for me to slip on. It's as simple as that. I'll be taking on the shops in court with me sprained arm or me sprained leg, depending on what happens, whilst I'm unable to work. You guys can cover my window washing spot." "Nah, yeah. How are we going to do this with the cameras and stuff?" Bricko jumped in before Dingo could commit to anything. "Nah, mate, you'll be right. I didn't say it was going to be easy. You needed to make it look like an accident and stuff. I'll handle the rest. Simple." Whereas sure as fuck sounded simple to both Dingo and Bricko, but in the back of Bricko's mind, he knew nothing was that simple. But he would be fucked if he wasn't going to give it one hell of a shot. "Let us think about it for a sec," Brico said as he grabbed Dingo and walked away to discuss how they could make this work. Now, Brico, this is a hell of an idea, and imagine what we could do with $200 a day. Tax-free. We're standing around doing nothing. Dingo, it appears too simple, and things never are that plain, especially when it comes to us. Well, think about it. All we have to do is go in there, pick a fight with each other, and knock something over. Simple as that. Yeah, I get that. But you and I aren't that lucky, mate. We never have been, and the simpler the idea, the more trouble it actually appears to be. Yeah, fuck oath, mate. I'm the first to admit we ain't lucky, but today we have an opportunity to change all that, and all we have to do is make sure this dickhead over there falls over. All right, mate. So we'll go in there, we'll knock over a drink or something, and we'll walk out, right? Yeah, mate. In and out in 5 seconds, and we can wear our sunnies in our hoodies, so no one knows who we are. There was something still niggling in the back of Brico's mind, but what the fuck, it was going to be easy, wasn't it? Dingo and Brico walked back to Jimbo and confirmed they were in on the deal, and shook on it to make sure the agreement was solid. Alright, you only get me street lights until I recover from my so-called injury, we got that? Yeah mate, it's a deal. So a couple of days a week we'll cover your street lights until you're ready to go again, and we get to keep all the earnings. Mate, if it goes the way it's supposed to, I won't need money for a long, long time. Easy, wasn't it? Brico, Dingo and Jimbo continued to discuss their plan as they walked toward the entrance of the supermarket, missing out on one key problem. So that's where we leave Brico and Dingo today, about to take on a plan that will set in motion a great many issues that will cause problems for both them and Sheila over the next couple of days. But that's another story to be continued another day. Loganwood is a place of many adventures, and things have a tendency to work itself out. Both the good, the bad, and definitely the fucking bogan. Come back to Loganwood to find the answers to the questions never asked. What will happen to Sheila and her doll check? How does this all relate to Dingo and Brico's misadventures only days before? All will be answered in the next couple of episodes. And remember what they say in Loganwood? Can I grab a ciggy?